You're listening to the Mens Rea podcast, and this is the story of Tina Cahill and David Walsh. Katrina Cahill, also known as Tina, was originally from Wexford, New Ross to be exact. David Walsh, also known as Matcha, was from Enniscorthy in the same county. But when they met in late 2014, both had moved from Ireland to Australia the year before. They'd started talking at a Bondi Junction pub, and they hit it off from there. It was later reported in Irish papers that Walsh had in fact fled Ireland that year after being charged with assault on an ex-girlfriend, three Gardaí who he had allegedly attacked in Enniscorthy Garda Station, and another man who allegedly had part of his ear bitten off. Having worked as a carpenter in his native Enniscorthy, Walsh worked in construction when he moved to Australia, and Cahill worked for a traffic management company. They lived together in a house in Padstow, off Watson Road on the outskirts of Sydney, 22 kilometres or 13 miles southwest of Sydney's central business district. They'd had a number of housemates, but by 2017 they were sharing the place with two other women, friends of Tina's, who were also Irish. The relationship between the two was volatile and was marked by a number of violent physical incidents. Both Cahill and Walsh had injured one another. Whatever may have been the initial cause of aggression in the relationship, the two of them didn't seem adverse to squaring up to one another to get their point across. On top of that, Walsh was said to have been very possessive, which also manifested in aggression, but in this case, towards men who he thought were perhaps moving in on his territory. It was reported that at one point Walsh had attacked a man in a hotel because the man had spoken to one of Tina's female friends. Walsh hit the man so hard he fell to the floor. Allegedly, David said as the man lay there, quote, "He won't look at my missus again," end quote. He would show up at Tina's work and make threatening gestures towards her. Walsh was also known for going into a rage in the house that they shared, and it was reported that he'd thrown a glass bottle through a new TV, and that he would punch holes in the walls and often broke things throughout the house. He was violent and destructive. Tina also alleged that David would rape her while they slept, that sometimes she would wake up naked after going to bed with pajamas on, and that once she'd seen a picture of herself on David's phone, sleeping, but with semen on her face. She later said, quote, "If I didn't have sex with him, he was just going to get it anyway," end quote. She said that when she'd confronted David about that picture, he just laughed at her. In 2015, there were a number of incidents between the couple, further indicating the fractious nature of their relationship. After an incident in September of that year, an apprehended violence order was issued against Mr. Walsh in order to protect Ms. Cahill. These orders are the Australian equivalent of a protection or safety order here, and can be made by the police on behalf of a person where they believe and suspect that an AVO is necessary to ensure safety and protection. Generally, an order had conditions such as not assaulting or threatening the protected person, not to stalk, harass, or intimidate, and not to deliberately or recklessly destroy property of that person. On October 3rd, 2015, Cahill had inflicted minor wounds on Mr. Walsh, stabbing him with a knife during the course of an argument after Mr. Walsh had allegedly insulted Tina's family, saying that her father had stolen money from the charity that he worked for. She said later, though, that it was because David was trying to get her to have sex with him and she didn't want to. She'd stabbed him in the head 3 or 4 times while Mr. Walsh was sitting on a sofa. One of her housemates at the time described how Tina had gotten up and left the room, and when she returned, she struck Mr. Walsh in the head. No one realized at first that she'd had a knife. She'd inflicted a number of glancing blows. There was yet another incident in November of 2015, where Cahill hit Walsh with a glass candle holder during a fight. She had picked up the candle holder and, with her back turned to Mr. Walsh, flung it over her shoulder, striking him in the face. Mr. Walsh ended up with 3 deep cuts on the right side of his forehead, which he suffered along with rapid blood loss. After this incident, Cahill was convicted of recklessly wounding Mr. Walsh. This time, she was the subject of a good behaviour bond and her own apprehended violence order to protect Mr. Walsh. Despite all that, the two announced their engagement at a New Year's Eve party at the end of 2016. There were smiling pictures of the happy couple posted to social media, with Tina showing off her engagement ring for the camera and family and friends who would no doubt see the pictures. On the 17th of February 2017, Tina and David had gone out for the night with 2 female friends. They'd gone to both the Cock and Bull Hotel and the Doncaster Hotel, both located in East Sydney. But the couple got into a fight, and Walsh had left to return to their house. That wasn't the only trouble that Walsh had gotten himself into that evening, though. Police had been allegedly looking for him in relation to a glassing incident at the Coach and Horses Hotel in Ranwick earlier that afternoon, which was in the same area as the pubs the couple had visited later that evening. Meanwhile, Tina and her 2 other female housemates stayed out drinking, and they met up with Matthew Hyde. They ended up inviting him back to their house. He was interested in one of the other housemates. But when Cahill, the 2 women, and Hyde arrived back at the house, they found that the front door had been smashed in and that there was a trail of blood leading into the house. Mr. Walsh was passed out on the couch. But the noise of them entering the house woke Walsh up when the group came inside. When he saw Hyde, he yelled, quote, "Who the fuck are you?" end quote, and hit Mr. Hyde from behind. He thought that Hyde had come home with Tina. He went mad. He was totally irate. Cahill attempted to intervene and told David Walsh that the man had come home with one of the other women, but he wouldn't listen to her. So she punched Walsh in the face, but he just tried to punch her back. So when the fighting didn't stop, Tina went into the kitchen and she pulled a large, sharp cooking knife from the cutlery drawer and headed back towards Mr. Walsh. The other girls screamed at her to stop, but Tina responded that Walsh needed to be taught a lesson. Quote, "It's not fair. Look at poor Matthew," end quote. One of them even tried to push Tina away from David, but Tina struck out at him with the blade. She caught him in the neck, on the left side, just below his jawline. One of the other women handed him a tea towel to put to his neck, as it was quickly apparent that he was losing a lot of blood. He was bleeding from both his neck and his mouth. Holding the towel to his neck, Walsh walked outside, asking for someone to ring 000, and then collapsed, after a few steps, outside on the pavement. The police arrived at 2:15 a.m. and found Walsh outside on the ground being held in the recovery position by Mr. Hyde, who was injured too, but these were just minor cuts to his face. Cahill was kneeling about 2 metres away, sobbing. When police asked her what had happened, she told them that the 2 men were fighting and Walsh had grabbed a knife and went after Mr. Hyde. She said that then she'd stepped in and ended up stabbing Mr. Walsh. A few minutes later, it was noticed that Mr. Walsh had stopped breathing. Police and then paramedics who had arrived to the address attempted to resuscitate Mr. Walsh, but their efforts failed. Mr. Walsh was pronounced dead on the scene at 12:55 a.m. In the chaos after the stabbing, Tina Cahill was alleged to have turned to one of the other women and said, quote, "He's gone mental. I can't cope no more. I can't believe what I just done," end quote. Neighbours were woken first by the shouting of the fight and then by the flashing lights and sirens of the ambulance and police cars. They told the media the next day that they often heard arguments and commotion from the house, shouting and glass breaking, that sort of thing. Tina was taken into custody alongside Mr. Hyde, but the 36-year-old man was released a few hours later and continued to assist New South Wales police with their inquiries. Tina Cahill, then 26, was then charged with murder. She appeared in court in the following days and was refused bail. She remained in custody up until October of 2018, when she appeared in the New South Wales Supreme Court. She had initially been charged with murder and was due to face an estimated 8-week-long trial, but the charge was downgraded to manslaughter just as the trial was slated to begin. The prosecuting lawyer said that the charges had been downgraded in light of the fact that Ms. Cahill had been suffering from PTSD due to violence in her relationship with Mr. Walsh. In response, Ms. Cahill and her legal team entered a guilty plea, along with a statement that she had suffered from a substantial impairment due to an abnormality of the mind, which was accepted. In this context, it was felt that the charge of manslaughter was more appropriate. Now guilty of manslaughter, Tina Cahill faced a maximum sentence of 25 years for this downgraded charge. The state asked that before Cahill's sentencing should occur, that they be given some time to arrange victim impact statements from the Walsh family back in Ireland, particularly his siblings and three of his daughters who also lived there. Throughout November, there were a number of hearings relating to Mr. Walsh and Mrs. Cahill's case, where an agreed statement of facts was presented for the consideration of the sentencing judge. The court also heard testimony from a number of people during these hearings, including Tina Cahill and others who were witnesses to the nature of the relationship between the two. Cahill told the court that Mr. Walsh had also repeatedly been violent towards her. He'd punched her and bitten her a number of times. Tina said that this was his quote-unquote thing. She also said he'd put out lit cigarettes on her if she'd said something he didn't like. He constantly accused her of sleeping with other men and would go through her phone and delete texts he took exception to. Ms. Cahill told the court during questioning by her barrister that, quote, "There is not a day that goes by when I don't think about David's family." She told her barrister James Trevelyan when asked how she felt about what she had done to her fiancé. She said, quote, "I loved him so much. He told me no matter what I did, I would never get away from him, and if I ever got with anyone else, he would make my life hell," end quote. Ms. Cahill approached the judge during one of the hearings to show him a scar above her lip, which she stated she got when Mr. Walsh had thrown an iPhone charger at her and hit her in the face. She said he called her at her job repeatedly, and she would see him if she was working a night shift, sitting in his car, watching her work. David thought that she'd been seeing her boss and would get angry when he turned up at work and saw her talking with male colleagues. Two Valentine's Day cards from Mr. Walsh were shown to the court, where he had seemingly admitted bad behaviour on his part. In 2016, he wrote a card to Cahill that said, quote, "Two babes, sorry for being a dick for so long. If you give me a chance, I'll make it up to you. Love you forever, David," end quote. The next year, Valentine's Day came just days after a bad argument between the two, and this time Mr. Walsh had written, quote, "To my Valentine, I know I can be a cunt, but I can be a good cunt. I'm sorry about it all. Love, Davy," end quote. Tina said that in the lead-up to the fatal stabbing incident, David had accused her of having an affair with her brother-in-law. He'd called her a slut and had told her she was a piece of shit that no one wanted. He'd blocked a number of accounts on Tina's Facebook, including friends of his that she'd never met, and he'd delete the text that he sent her at the end of the day, as well as one she'd received from family or contacts in her phone that he took exception to. He'd thrown out clothes that Tina's mum had sent her because he didn't like them. Cahill told the court that she'd told Mr. Walsh she was leaving him a number of times and had had her bags packed, but each time he promised that things would change, their relationship would be different. And it was, but only for a few weeks, before old patterns of behavior would take back over. Cahill said she hadn't left Mr. Walsh because despite the aggression and violence in their relationship, she loved him dearly. She admitted that she had had a problem with binge drinking and had used cocaine, though she said in the months before the stabbing, she had reduced her alcohol intake and hadn't been using cocaine as regularly as before. After the hearings in which the court heard the agreed facts of the case and the various witness statements, Tina Cahill's sentencing took place again in the New South Wales Supreme Court on the 12th of December 2018. Victim impact statements had been organised by that stage, and a number of them were read aloud and handed up to the judge. One of the statements was from a 13-year-old girl who cannot be named for legal reasons. She said, addressing Cahill directly in her letter, quote, "If it happened to you, how would you feel? I don't know how you'd feel because you don't have a heart. You don't care. But I do. We do. I hope you rot in hell, Tina Cahill," end quote. Caroline O'Brien, David's ex-girlfriend in Ireland and mother of three of Walsh's four children, also wrote an impact statement. She was furious that the charges had been downgraded against Cahill. She said, quote, "To say you have PTSD is a joke. You are a joke. Murder is murder to us, and that will always be your title," end quote. Four of Mr. Walsh's five brothers also sent impact statements to be read for the court. One of them recalled that when their father got the news of David's death, when Gardaí had called out the house in Wexford to break the news, John Walsh, their father, said, quote, "I don't want him up there on his own, son. I'm going to be with him soon," end quote. His brother went on to say that their father died 10 months later, and according to his son, it was from a broken heart. He also told the court that their mother was an empty shell of her former self. Mr. Justice Peter Johnson accepted that Mr. Walsh had been controlling and demeaning towards Cahill during their relationship, and that the offence had been committed in the heat of the moment. He said he was not convinced that Miss Cahill had actually intended to kill Mr. Walsh when she stabbed him. Justice Johnson addressed the victim impact statements that had been read out in the court from Mr. Walsh's family back in Enniscorthy. He said, quote, "The distress suffered by each of the family members is clear from their victim impact statements, and, quote, that grief is no doubt compounded by the fact that his death occurred in a country far away from their homes in Ireland," end quote. Tina's mother and father had travelled from Ireland to be with their daughter during the hearings. David Cahill had heard about his daughter's arrest on the radio. Her father told the court that Tina had hid the abusive nature of her relationship from him, and that if he had known what was going on, he would have insisted that she return to Ireland with him. There were also character references written for the court to consider from two of Tina's ex-boyfriends. Both said that Tina had been a bright and bubbly girl, and she had been in no way violent or aggressive with them throughout their relationships. They'd not seen her be violent with anyone else either. One said that their two-year relationship only ended because she had moved to Australia. In sentencing, Justice Johnson said, quote, "I am satisfied the psychiatric evidence supports the existence of significant depression on the part of the offender at the time of the killing, which arose from the unusual and abusive relationship with Mr. Walsh," end quote. Tina Cahill was then sentenced to 8 years, with a non-parole period of 5 years to be served. She will remain in prison in Australia until February 2022 at the earliest, at which time it's expected she will be deported back to Ireland. It's expected that she will live with her parents when she returns. Until then, she has been described as a model prisoner with a trusted job in the prison. She has been reported as saying that she knows what she did was wrong and that she knows she must serve her time for it. David Walsh's remains were flown home to Wexford, and he was buried in a funeral service on Wednesday, the 1st of March, in St. Aidan's Cathedral in Enniscorthy. Thank you for listening to Mens Rea, a true crime podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Mens Rea Pod, or you can send an email to mensreapod@gmail.com. This podcast is made possible in part from generous donations by supporters on Patreon. Please do check it out at patreon.com/mensreapod. Our theme music is Quinn's song, The Dance Begins, by Kevin MacLeod. Additional music is by Juanita Meisel and Kevin MacLeod. This episode was researched and written by me, your host, Sinead. All sources for today's episode can be found in the show notes or on our website, www.mensreapod.com. And so, till next time, don't do anything I wouldn't do.